I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Shoot, Lopez will probably buy you a shot of something, man.
Ooh, Lopez, yeah, that generous,
man,
huh?
Man, Lopez,
the OG.
Lopez got that bread. Now.
Yeah.
So if you got that bread, you know
what
I mean?
That's what the rumor is.
Especially if you're like a, you know, Lopez, he's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy. So if you lightweight, like a low-key guy that's like, hey, he's not going to do anything, but he's going to enjoy seeing. So if you're an attractive young lady, you come up.
You cannot call him creepy.
I didn't call him creepy. I said he's a low-key creep. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Okay. I mean, he's not wrong.
There you go. All right. Wade Smith.
I appreciate that, Wade. I mean, you know, you just got to appreciate who you are, right?
With us.
Hey, as long as you look at it, not touching, man. Buying a drink
right.
or two ain't bad. You good, Lopez.
Dang right. Dang right.
All right. Here we go. Wade Smith. You know this guy very well. Brandon Dunn. He's going to be looking to fill the void left by DJ Reader. But according to him, there will not be a void. Here is Brandon Dunn over the weekend talking about his new role on this team.
What do you feel like you guys will do to fill the void with DJ gone?
Oh, man, it's a culture that was set by everybody. Next man up, next guy up, and the void will be filled. There's no void. We're just going to keep playing and keep pushing. We got goals of ours in our room that we're striving to hit. We're just going to keep getting better every day.
All right. What do you think?
I mean, that sounds good in theory, and I would expect him to say something like that. I expect him to have that next man up mantra and approach it that way, that they're going to go out there and do their job. But the reality of the situation is there's nobody on the roster that can do the things that DJ Reader did.
Thank you.
And can do it to that level. And so there will be a drop-off. I don't know if it'll be a void, but there'll be a drop-off because DJ Reader was one of the best in the league at what he does. He's probably a top two or one or two run stopper. And then he also did a good job of pushing the pocket to where he could create opportunities for other people to get sacked in a pass game. So that's no longer there. They're going to have to collectively come together and try to figure out a way to plug that hole. But to say that, you know, there's not going to be any drop off, that would be foolish. I think that they're going to have to, I don't expect them defensively to be as good stopping the run as they did in the past, because they haven't done anything to improve that part of their personnel. Personnel wise, they've gotten worse in that regard. And maybe it's something that schematically that Anthony Weaver can dream up to help with that. But when it comes to just sitting down, taking on a double team, dropping to a knee and breaking that, busting through that double team and making a play, you can't really find anybody better than DJ Reader in this league. And so they're going to miss that.
Well, you just answered one of the questions I had regarding my worries on the front seven, so I won't go there. But I will go here, and this is what Landry was talking about going into the break. I feel as if Whitney Mercilus has to have a big year. There are just not that many sacks on that front seven. I mean, you can project on Jacob Martin if you want. If you want to go down that road, you can project on a second-year guy. And Charles Amenahu, you can project on a lot of guys, right? But that's all projection. The only guy who's been there and done that outside of J.J. Watt, and I'm just working under the assumption here that J.J. is going to get even more attention than usual, because there just aren't a lot of sacks out there on the front seven. This has got to be a Whitney Mercilus kind of year, doesn't it?
Yeah, John, before I address that, what would you consider is a big year for Whitney when we're talking about
Well, that's
sacks?
A great question.
What to you?
Yeah, I'm not talking 12 or 15, but lots of pressures. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't look at just sacks. I like to look at the pressures. I like to look at obviously the sacks and, you know, hits after, you know, he throws and all that. So I, in terms of just sacks, give me eight, man. Give me eight or nine, because that, that tells me that that you're getting pressure on him.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate number. If he gets anything over eight sacks, now you're getting into the category of, all right, he's having a good year. And if you want him to say, okay, he's having a big year, then he needs to have somewhere around 10, 11 sacks, you know, force some fumbles, getting pressured, those type of things. I agree. He's going to have a big year because you're trying to figure out where they're going to create this pressure from. If JJ's out there, you know you're going to get it from that side. And that's going to benefit Whitney. And what was the biggest struggle that the Texans had last year was defending the pass. And they couldn't defend the pass, not just because they were struggling in the defensive backfield. They couldn't create pressure on the quarterback. And they couldn't finish. If they might beat an offensive lineman against the Chiefs, but Pat Mahomes was so mobile that he could get loose, scramble around, and hit Travis Kelce for touchdowns all over the field. And so they got to get guys that can close and make plays. And so Whitney Mercer has to be one of those bell cow guys. Agree. He has to have a big year. Just kind of wanted to get a little bit more specific on what that means. And so to me, Whitney Mercer, he should be a 10 sack guy this season. If you have J.J. Watt on the other side and you get J.J. for 14 games, that to me, 14 games for J.J. equals 10 sacks for Whitney. And 14 games from J.J. equals probably 16 sacks for J.J. That's the type of season that those guys can put up if they're together. It's the biggest thing, and it's you talk about just about every side of the ball, every position group, if they're healthy. If they can stay healthy, if J.J. Watt can stay healthy, now they're actually contenders in this league.
When we talk about the front seven, I kind of leave three guys out because I think Bernardrick McKinney, you know what he's going to do. Zach Cunningham, I think he's one of your most reliable players, if not your best player on defense. And, of course, we know J.J. Watt, when he's healthy, does his thing.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
Yes, that is right, Show. That's a hell of an observation by you. But what about the Duke Ejiofor injury? And, look, I didn't know what Duke was going to do this year, because he was coming off that Achilles and because there's a little bit more competition on the edge. But when you see a guy a year ago tear his Achilles in the offseason, in a year in which there really weren't that many guys competing, so you expected him to be kind of a contributor, and then his first practice back, he tears his ACL. As a former player, man, how heartbreaking is that for you? If it's heartbreaking for me, it's got to be just a little bit crazy for you as well.
Yeah, man, that was tough to see. I when I saw the report come across on Twitter, I just closed up the app, man, and turned on the TV, because I was like, I know that dude worked very, very hard to get back to where he was able to play. You got to understand, from his perspective, he knows what he can do in this league. He's seen himself perform at a high level. It was for a short period of time, but he saw himself play at a very, very high level. And so he just knows, if I can stay healthy, I'm going to have a hell of a career. I'm going to be able to help this team win ball games. And his body just isn't cooperating with him. And that's an unfortunate thing about this professional sports, just sports in general. Sometimes your body doesn't cooperate with what maybe some of your physical talents and your mental abilities says that you can do. And so that's what you're seeing at Duke Ejiofor. He was a guy that coming into the season, you didn't think to yourself, we're counting on him. But it was like, hey, if he stays healthy, that's going to be some icing on the cake. That's going to be a difference maker that nobody is really expecting. And so I'm sure that the Texans organization had to be looking at it the same way as well, because he hadn't done it when it counted. You know, he hadn't done it in regular season ball games and dominated like he did in those preseason games that he showed and in those practices in his rookie year. So you can't count on a guy that isn't doing it when the lights come on. Keep making me go back to Kyler Waring,
right.
But that's the same thing. You can't count on a guy that has not shown it when the lights come on. And so it's just unfortunate for Duke Ejiofor that he can't stay healthy. Hopefully he gets another shot next year. I'm sure they will, because for the Texans, it's a low risk situation. It's not like they're paying him a bunch of money, and he's gonna try to take whatever opportunity he can get. And so if he can stay healthy, he's somebody that can be a difference maker for the team, but he's definitely not somebody that you can really count on being there.
Who's the Whitney Merciless in the secondary? A lot of players or new roles. Either new players or new roles in the secondary. Garion Conley, Bradley Roby's going to be counted on to be the guy. Lonnie Johnson in his second year. Who's the Whitney Merciless? Who has to have that better than average year in the secondary for them to succeed?
Well, Eric Murray's got to be that guy. I mean, if he's what he's getting paid
next
says that he's going to be the starter, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Justin Reed in that category because I expect Justin Reed to have a hell of a year. He's one of the two guys on defense I expect to be there. I expect Bradley Roby to have a hell of a year this year. You know, maybe Lonnie Johnson is that guy, but, you know, Eric Murray has been in this league. He hasn't really shown that he is the man. And so if he has a big year, that makes it, that pays huge dividends for the Texans defense overall and just for the team. And so Eric Murray, to me, is the closest I can get to somebody in the secondary that would need to have, that I think needs to have a Whitney Merciless type series.
Doesn't he sound kind of like an old Texans offensive lineman the way they sell him, though? I mean, like, he used to, like, versatility, but he hasn't really done anything very well. Like, isn't that the feel that you get with how Eric Murray's being sold? I mean, they talked about him being a personal protector on special teams yesterday. Like, that means a damn thing to me. Like, it just seems like, it seems kind of like it's like the same old, like versatile. But what is he actually good at?
Yeah, when you kind of read between the line with blinds with Bill O'Brien, he has a way of letting you know that this guy is legit and we expect a lot from him. And this guy is, we're hoping for the best, and this guy ain't going to be around for a while. Like, you can kind of read between the line, and Eric Murray is kind of one of those guys that's sounding like we're hoping for the best. Like, you know, we can use him here, we can use him there. But when I was listening to John Harris, I believe it was maybe yesterday, he was saying that he looked good. Like, he looked really good out there. And John Harris is a guy that I really trust his opinion on what guys look like out there, because he's been in the building. He understands, you know, the football side of it, and he's a big film watcher. And so if there was nothing there, I don't think he would put his name on it. And so about how he's been looking. So hopefully that's the case, and hopefully Eric Murray is out there impressing and having a good training camp. Another guy I think you look out for, like A.J. Moore just got an interception in practice the other day. When he's had opportunities to play out there, I think he's played pretty well. And so A.J. Moore maybe is an underdog guy that could come out there and have a good training camp.
To do what?
To be the second, the starting safety. Next
what?
To Justin Reed, because that hasn't.
Wade, all right. Biggie, let's go to break. Start he's played like 20 snaps at safety in 3 years. He's played like 20 snaps at safety in 2 years. Like, why would he all this? All of a sudden, A.J. Moore is going to be a starting safety? Oh, my gosh.
Who else is the starting safety? Who is it? I mentioned Eric Murray. You poo-pooed on that. Who's the starting safety next to Justin Reed? I'm trying to find answers.
There you go.
Who is going to be the guy?
Get him, Wade.
I mean, A.J. Moore? I mean, my goodness.
If you make plays, you get to go out there and keep doing it. Well, so he's making
then
plays.
Why has he only played 20 snaps of defense the last couple years?
Last year they had a guy that was a legit starter. They had
but 20 snaps.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. They had Deshaun Gibson last year. I mean, they had a starting safety last year. They don't have a starting safety this year.
Wait, 20
they got
snaps.
One.
20 snaps.
What's your point?
I mean,
I mean, if there's a starter in front of you that's playing,
well, I mean, in the playoffs against the Chiefs, Gibson and Adai were out, and he didn't play a single defensive snap. And now all of a sudden he's supposed to start.
They played Lonnie Johnson because
that was going well. That was going well.
Exactly. Hey, you're talking to me about personnel. I didn't pick the guys on the team. I'm just telling you what the guys
what's in front of them.
You
give me a heart attack.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't choose the team. I'm just telling you guys that are there.
Wade, before you get out of here, I just have to get your thoughts on this because I know you're going to have a good perspective. Totally non-Texans related. 36 years old. Broke his tibia and his fibula less than 2 years ago. Doctors feared for his life. His leg was just about to be amputated. 17 surgeries. He's not that much younger than you, to be honest. I know it's a different position. But your thoughts on Alex Smith being cleared to play football again? We really haven't even talked about this. But it's to me, the story of the year in the NFL.
Well, was he cleared by the Washington doctors or his own
doctors? Well, it says that the doctors, his doctors, I guess, because it says Here he goes. No, Washington.
I don't trust the Washington doctors.
No, I just did.
I mean,
that's a good point. Yeah, but I'm like, just the fact that he's there.
No, I think it's awesome that he was able to fight back from that. I mean, 17 surgeries, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you saw the E60 special.
Yeah.
Like, his leg was mangled, and then he had all these pins in it when he's trying to work out. And, like, that was crazy. That was crazy that he's been able to come all the way back from that. I mean, if he's clear about his doctors, that means that he can play. Alex Smith can play. And so, you know, he's had a hell of a career to this point. He's not a superstar quarterback, but you can win with him as your quarterback. And so now Washington's in a position where they kind of have a QB battle. If you have Alex Smith versus the young guy that you brought in, and Dwayne Haskins, both of those. No, not Kyle Allen. It's Dwayne Haskins.
Well, I'm saying Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen are the other.
Well, I know Kyle Allen is an Aggie, and I know you got to put him out there. But he ain't starting for the Washington football
team. Hey, he's no Johnny Football.
No, he's better than Johnny Football because he can stay out of, you know, drinking and doing crazy stuff. And so that's why he's still in the league. He continues to make good decisions. So that's why he's still there. But yeah, man, Alex Smith, it's a great story. He is a shoe-in for the comeback player of the year if he plays this season. If he plays, you know, half the games or whatever it may be, He's a shoo-in for that, because I think when he plays, he's going to play well. He's just, some guys have it, and he has it. And so happy to see that he's back. But yeah, that's crazy, man. The 17 surgeries. I don't think anyone's ever been through that many surgeries on one part of their body and came back and played any sports.
All right, Wade. We always appreciate you. Thanks for looking at camp with us, man.
And it's always real, fellas.
All right.
Didn't interrupt it this time. Good job, John Lopez. John McClain going to join us on Thursday. Speaking of John McClain, he found himself in the middle of some drama with former Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. We'll let you know what went down next.
And I'll tell you the Joe DiMaggio story. Back when they first started
the In the Loop program with the Loopers, they're going to do their thing.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locke.
All right, we got an update on Yordan Alvarez from Dusty Baker. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is from SportsRadio610.com's Adam Spillane. Dusty Baker says he will have an update on Yordan Alvarez after today's game. He's meeting with the trainers shortly.
All right. Let's. What does Landry say all the time? You want to be what?
One hundo.
Yeah, don't say
Let's
that.
Be one hundo. He knows. I said it 3 days ago. Or 2 days ago, when we actually hit the air. But he's been saying it for 3 days, quote, not knowing what the update is on Yordan Alvarez. If you don't know by now, it's fine to say, I can't say. I'm respecting his privacy. We will talk about it later.
Why do you always ask me a negative question?
I'm sorry, Dusty. This one's very appropriate, I think, man. To just say you don't know and you're the manager of the team, that's just not sincere, man. It's not forthcoming. Just say something else, you know?
Okay. I don't know what to tell you. That's all Dusty's got for you. So I guess after the game, we're going to do Facebook Live is going to be the method of the post-game show today because it is a 2:10 first pitch. So I will be doing it Facebook Live likely on a patio drinking tequila.
Not a baby.
We'll see what pops there. I'm not one of those guys who like brags about drinking my first beer, or taking my first shot.
Stick that
in
elbow
my 30s
out, and drink
anything.
It.
Yeah, but you know, that's probably what I will be doing. John McClain, he found himself in the middle of some drama with a familiar face, DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins and him had a little back and forth on Twitter. John McClain's been known to retweet a lot of things, and he retweets pretty much every story he sees. And McClain tweeted out a story from a writer by the name of Walter Mitchell in Arizona. And the headline read, "Is DeAndre Hopkins holding out?" And here's just a little snippet from the story. Quote, "The way Cliff Kingsbury was talking about DeAndre Hopkins today, I got a sense that Hopkins' main issue isn't a hamstring. It said he hasn't inked his new, quote, top paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL contract yet. And perhaps a contract of that magnitude could take some time to materialize. especially for a player who hasn't taken one snap in a game for the team yet. That's a snippet from Walter Mitchell. DeAndre Hopkins responded to John McClain's tweet and said, quote, "No, DeAndre Hopkins is not holding out," from the source.
That's the way to handle it. That's pretty direct. I mean, it could be a little bit of both. You know, maybe he would be back a lot quicker if the contract was moving along a little further, a little more quickly. But I'm not gonna fall in line with everybody. See, there it was. He's greedy. Blah blah blah. We knew what the deal was when he went over there. He was gonna get a deal, and they're working on it.
Let me just break some news for this Walter Mitchell guy.
Yeah.
First of all, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't practice. That was the issue. So if DeAndre Hopkins is not practicing, it's not because he's trying to make some sort of statement. DeAndre Hopkins does not practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality. He shows up on Sunday, he balls out, but he does not practice very often. So that's nothing new. Second of all, I went back and I actually listened to Cliff Kingsbury to try to get some context mm-hmm. and see if maybe this guy was onto something.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be the judge and tell me if this sounds like a coach who's pissed off or trying to hide something about one of his players. Here's Cliff Kingsbury, quote, talking about DeAndre Hopkins in a strange way, according to this Walter Mitchell guy. Tell me if you agree with what Walter Mitchell's saying here.
It's a soft tissue injury. I'm not sure. I mean, DeAndre's a guy who works really hard at his craft and stays in great shape, so I'm not sure if that's what it's, you know, a reason for. But he, you know, he's working, getting better each day, and I expect him back soon.
Does him missing practice time, is that a setback as far as him learning the offense, or are you trying to figure out how to use him?
It's not. He's been so productive in this league. He's a pro's pro when it comes to, you know, knowing what it takes for him to have his body ready and his mind ready to perform at a high level week one. And you'd obviously like Kyler to get a few more reps with him, but they got some great work in the summer. And, you know, he's a guy who's going to present himself well on the field for a young quarterback. We don't worry too much about it, knowing what he's done in this league, what he's about, having been around him a little bit, and how he prepares to get himself ready.
Okay.
What the head coach thinks of you has a lot to do with the narrative that gets out. You know who else hasn't practiced yet? At all? J.J. Watt. He's been out there. He's gone through some drills. He's done a few things.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
That guy. At least until today. We're going to get actually, next segment, we'll
might
be hearing
the best drop ever.
We'll be
way.
Hearing from
long list
Sean Pendergast. We'll be hearing from Sean Pendergast next segment. But by all accounts, am I missing one? Was there one over the weekend where he actually took full part in scrimmage type 7-on-7? I mean, excuse me, 11-on-11.
You don't need to practice.
Exactly. But you know who's not complaining? Anyone. No one is complaining. No one is doubting.
Did Kingsbury sound frustrated there, like
no,
he was hiding something?
That's my point.
That's what I don't understand. As I because you know how I am with press conferences. I'll sit around and watch a 20-minute press conference anywhere.
I know. You're
and I was
good
like,
that.
I was like, okay, let me just see what Cliff Kingsbury said. So I went and that's every question he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. Did that sound like a guy that was frustrated?
That
or
sounded like a guy who likes his receiver, and that's my point. He likes what he has there. He's not worried about DeAndre Hopkins being ready. Basically, he feels about DeAndre Hopkins the way Bill O'Brien feels about J.J. Watt. You know what? We even have Bill O'Brien talking about that. You know, he's a veteran guy, and I'm paraphrasing. He knows how to get ready. He does a lot of work in the weight room. He does his own thing. You've heard it. We've played it on this show. Bill O'Brien talking about how J.J. Watt really hasn't gone at it yet, and maybe he did today. We'll find out. But what your head coach thinks of you determines what the narrative is that comes out of training camp. The narrative with J.J. Watt isn't even it's an afterthought. When DeAndre Hopkins was here, all of a sudden it became, he didn't really practice. And so all of a sudden, Kingsbury has no issues at all with DeAndre Hopkins.
Here's how DeAndre Hopkins ended this back and forth with John McClain. Screw you, you fat. No, I'm just kidding. Here's how he really ended it. I'm just kidding. This is the real thing. I'm just joking. Quote from DeAndre Hopkins. John is one of the greats at his job. Always kept it real with me in Houston. From weekly Hall of Fame stats to how AP voters decide on all pros. And, of course, how to handle media. Always love and respect. Legend!
Make a team better.
T-E-A-M. There you go.
So he feels the same way about John McClain.
But you see what I'm saying, right?
We do. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think that if you were expecting DeAndre Hopkins to practice every day and you traded for him, that's dumb.
Oh, by the way, right on cue, Aaron Wilson tweets out who did not practice today. Gary and Conley, Phillip Gaines, P.J. Hall, J.J. Watt.
All-world defensive lineman, J.J.
Nobody's
Watt.
Calling him, you know, any names or wondering about him in contracts and everything else. You know why? Because the coach really, really loves that dude. And the coach in Arizona really, really loves DeAndre Hopkins. Much ado about nothing.
Let's go live to training camp. Sean Pendergast, one of a few inside the bubble. Practice report from Sean. Who shined? Who looked awful? And say it ain't so. A.J. Moore, the starting safety? No way! Not on the best Tuesday ever next.
You're serious?
All right! Let's go inside the bubble from Texans training camp with Sean Pendergast.
All right, let's go inside the bubble. Sean Pendergast out there, one of few. Sean, what stuck out today at practice?
Well, I would say, first of all, I heard you guys talking about JJ, and I think you read Aaron Wilson's tweet. JJ did not practice today. And in fact, the last three practices, there have been four total. The first one, he did a few drills and then kind of hung out on the sideline. The last three, he's not even been out there.
Trade
so I'm
him.
Assuming he's
trade him.
He's lifting. I know. What an ingrate, huh?
Maybe if he would have been focusing on football instead of commercials.
I'm sure this is all part of their plan. It feels weird because he's the only one who's just all the way not out there. You know, there's other guys who aren't practicing or where the workload is a little lighter. But JJ just hasn't been out there. It feels weird. It feels like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where Charles Jefferson, the big high school player from Ridgemont High, is walking around the mall and the kid's like fawning over him. He's like, wow, I just thought he flew in for games. Exactly. That's what it feels like for JJ right now. I feel like JJ is just flying in for games this year. So no JJ Watt. And you, Landry, you asked me what stood out. What stood out is that it was a bad day for camp crushes.
Oh, man. I have sources too, but go ahead.
Yours and mine, worse for yours than mine, though, John. Caron Hagdon, in an early goal line session that they did, had a fumble at the one-yard line, and then they did a late goal line session where they did first and goal, I don't know, from the two or the three or whatever, and twice Zach Cunningham just stymied him at the goal, like one of those one-on-one linebacker hits where they meet at the point of attack, and I mean, Cunningham's a near Pro Bowler, Caron Hagdon's a practice squad guy, but Cunningham basically just, you know, buried him on two straight goal line runs. So not a great day for your camp crush. I would change your Facebook status with him to "it's complicated." Okay. John, that would be my recommendation.
Well,
for
I'm
you.
Taking suggestions for my next camp crush. I'll drop him like a bad habit.
Well, and let me just say, that's right. You can't have that guy weighing you down.
I can't associate myself with him anymore.
That's right. Well, just so you know, you're not alone. Chad Hansen had a push-off, an offensive pass interference in one of the one-on-one drills that drew the ire of Bill O'Brien. So, as you know, that's my camp crush. So, you know, not great for him, but worse for Hagdon. But that, as far as what stood out overall, that would be just that. The defense was really good again today. In the situational football, the 11-on-11, where the offense is handed certain situations, they've got to move the ball down the field. They didn't get the ball into the end zone any of those times. Mm. And so the defense, I thought the defense stood up well, and that was without J.J. Watt out there. Now, granted, the offense is not playing, at least in those 11-on-11 portions of practice, with either Cooks or Fuller. So that should be pointed out as well.
Was it?
But the defense won again.
If not today, would you expect it to be more scrimmage type stuff based on the fact that there are no preseason games and no inter-squad practices? I tweeted that with you earlier, and I was curious if they indeed did pick up the pace a little bit in terms of 11-on-11.
They're still not going to the ground, but I will say the goal line drills were spirited, and they, you know, down there near the goal line, it's hard to keep guys up when they run through the line. So there were some pad popping going on there. And I know there are going to be scrimmages here. O'Brien himself has mentioned that. And my guess is that we'll know some dates pretty soon as to when they're going to be. But there are going to be scrimmages because at some point, I think it's O'Brien who's referred to it, the callousness that you need to build up of tackling in an NFL game. Mm-hmm. They need that at some point. And so the hitting, I would say for, you know, if John, if this were a preseason where they had some joint practices and preseason games on the docket still, I would say, wow, that was a pretty hard hitting practice for a normal preseason. Instead, it's this preseason. So I think this is one of those practices where they feel like they probably need to veer closer towards real hitting a little bit.
How did the water polo tight end look?
He hardly got out there. He was in uniform. He was in pads. He did some drills. I didn't see him at all out there during 11 on 11. Okay. I was thinking about him as I was getting in my car, as I was leaving Landrina. Like, I'm thinking about, okay, who are the guys who got back out there today? Who are the guys who still need to get back out there? And I like, at this point with Waring, it's one of those things where I look back at all the times during the off season, and it's early. It's the fourth practice. Maybe he gets out there and does some things. But I've seen kind of this play before, this movie before with other players. Yeah. And I start to look back now at some of the things. Well, like, he could be a real X factor. You know, in year two, maybe he blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. And the other tight ends are looking pretty good right now. You know, mm-hmm. Fells and Akins made some plays in the 11 on 11. And Thomas, actually, not a great day for him, at least in the 11 on 11. There was a fourth down situation, fourth and 10. With like 17 seconds left that the offense needed to convert to stay on the field. And he let a catchable, not an easy catch, but a catchable ball go through his hands.
Well,
but Kyle Waring's a non-factor at this point.
Okay. If the defense is having good days, that would lead me to believe that the secondary is clearly having good performances as well. And this is something that is going to be a big question mark, the secondary. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think, well, no Conley today. And Conley's had a decent camp so far. I think it was just a regular sort of manage his health day today, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, O'Brien was asked about Conley in his press conference before practice today, and he made no mention of any issues with Conley health-wise or anything. He actually talked about him in fairly glowing terms in year two, you know, with the team through a whole training camp here. But, you know, Bradley Roby's looked pretty fluid moving out there. Justin Reed's been one of the best players in camp. Landry, you'll be glad to know Eric Murray made a couple plays in the one-on-ones today, a couple PBUs in the one-on-ones. You know who I've been impressed with?
Don't say this, man. I know where this is. Go ahead.
What?
Guess. I already know. Me and Wade already got into it about this. A.J. Moore.
About what?
A.J.
No,
Moore.
No, that's not where I was going. No, but he's made some plays in camp, but I know. John Reed, the rookie out of Penn State.
Okay.
It was actually a pretty good day for the back end of the draft rookies. John Reed made a couple nice pass breakups and drills in the 11 on 11. He doesn't look overwhelmed at all. You know, he's where he needs to be. He's very solid. I haven't seen him getting beat. And he comes in with a reputation of being a quick study, you know, with the work, you know, some of the jobs he's had in the offseason at Penn State and some of just the maturity level that you hear about with him. That's kind of shown up so far. Isaiah Coulter was on the field again today. That back end of the receiving rotation battle is getting interesting. Coulter made a great play on a high-pointed deep ball in the one-on-one drills. I think it was Keon Crossan who was on him. But he went up and kind of twisted his body around, high-pointed it in the end zone, about a 40-yard drop in the bucket by Deshaun to him, and came down hard, popped right back up. He's, you know, there aren't many guys in this receiving core that make that kind of play. It's kind of a diminutive receiving core. I think there's a spot in this receiving core for a bigger, kind of rangier wide receiver. Coulter did some good things today, so it was a good day.
Is he camp crush worthy?
For rookies. John, I know you're out there on the market now.
I am on the market. I'm out there, baby.
Disappointed you.
I just changed my status.
I don't know if you're ready to switch. Which direction is it that you swipe if you want the person?
I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea.
You swipe right.
I'm
okay, swiping. I don't either.
I'm
John.
Swiping, man.
Yeah, you're swiping right. Okay. Coulter might be, Well, here's the thing, and I'll say this about a couple guys. Coulter's going to get a lot of opportunities because of the way they're handling Fuller and Cooks, and to a lesser extent, Randall Cobb. Like, Fuller and Cooks are not doing anything in 11 on 11, so there's a ton of opportunity right now for Hanson and the Stevie Mitchells of the world and Isaiah Coulter. And on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you guys brought up J.J. Watt. Charles Omenihu's been getting a lot of activity at that upper tier of the depth chart right now, and he's looked the part so far. So, when these guys...
Yeah, but he can't be a crush.
No. I'm making a separate point. Go ahead and big yes. Coulter can be your camp crush.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's a little ballsier to take. It's a little ballsier. ballsier to take undrafted and practice squad guys.
Sorry, finish your point on Omenihu, and then I'm going to ask you about the running back position. That might be my next crush.
Okay.
You know, because Higdon's out.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, but my point is just this, and Omenihu just happens to be the name I'm throwing in here. When these veteran guys aren't practicing, to me, like, it's one thing. If they're being managed to get to the regular season, that's not a big deal to me. What's a more intriguing thing is, what are the guys doing that are getting their reps in practice? And Omenihu's done a nice job so far, as have some of these backup receivers that are getting Fuller and Cooks's and Cobb's and Stills, too. Stills didn't do anything at 11-on-11 today. He's still just in day two for him of camp overall. So so that's my overall point, is just there's a lot of opportunity out there right now because now they're managing the core veteran guys and some guys are taking advantage of it.
Last thing, and I know you have to many things to do today. You can't have two you can't have two running backs. I mean, you got David Johnson, Duke Johnson. I'm guessing Buddy Howell's in there. We talked about Higdon. I mean, there's got to be another running back. Maybe that's a camp crush possibility, Scotty Phillips or something like that.
That's it. I mean, that's the extent of it, because Colin Gillespie has been, not that he's a classic running back, but I know we've read things in Peter King's article about versatility, and he used Gillespie as an example, how they've got different packages for him. Well, he's been banged up since the first practice. He's been in T-shirt and shorts with a, you know, with a wrap on his leg for the last three practices Gillespie has. So, it's really been those guys. It's been Duke Johnson, David Johnson. David Johnson suited up today, did a lot of stuff in drills, did not do as much in 11-on-11, but he's fine. You know, he was on the sidelines kind of smiling and laughing. So I think they're just managing him. Buddy Howell seems to be the next one in line. He's looked fine in the drills. You know, sometimes it's a little hard to tell when no tackling and no breaking of tackles going on. But Buddy Howell and Higdon appeared to be neck and neck. It'll be very interesting to see if Higdon's day today, which again was not good, affects his status at all. Because then it's Phillips. It's Phillips after him, the undrafted kid out of Ole Miss, who has been getting a few touches. But that's about it. This could be like last year.
Feel like we're previewing the Roughnecks game or something like that.
This time last year, the backfield was still, you know, we were a week removed from Deontay Foreman getting cut, and Lamar Miller was still healthy. And then they make a Duke Johnson trade, and then they trade for Carlos Hyde. So, man, I don't think there's a move like that out there, because I think they feel much better about their top two this year now than they did about last year's top two at this point with Duke and with David Johnson. But, you know, maybe as far as building depth, you know, the running back is a position, I think, where you wait and see what might get put out there veteran-wise to throw on there as your third or fourth running back.
All right, Sean, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, fellas.
All right,
yep,
Sean,
take care.
Guest live from the bubble here on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Guy has gotten a lot of attention in camp, Kiki QT. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about Kiki in his third year.
Kiki Kuti's had a really good camp. DeAndre Carter's very solid player. So it's a very competitive position. It's going to be a tough conversation relative to how many you would keep. All those guys are working really hard.
I feel like every receiver is getting mentioned, which makes me feel almost like I used to when I would watch the Texans offensive line against the D-line and you thought that their front seven was going to be the best of all time. I'm worried about this secondary. I heard the name Stevie Mitchell this morning when I was driving in. I've heard this Hanson character. I'm hearing about QT. I'm hearing about DeAndre Carter. I'm hearing a lot of receivers' names, which makes me wonder, is this secondary just a little bit flawed?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and that's why I asked. You know, something has to be going right, unless the offense is just, you know, behind or keeping it very vanilla and, you know, trying to see what the defense can do. That might be a possibility as well. But somebody's doing something in the secondary, because the defense has had a couple of good days.
J.J. Watt has not practiced, but he has had a helmet on. Here's J.J. Watt on if he's tried the new face masks that protect you from bodily fluids.
Oh, I have not tried it, and I do not plan to.
All right, there you go. Very short and sweet. Best Tuesday ever today. You have the Astros at 2:10 against the Rockies. Grinke on the mound. Then 5:30, Rockets versus Thunder. Here was Dusty Baker with an update on Yordan Alvarez. I'll tell you what, that Mark Berman, foaming out the mouth. As soon as they opened it up for questions, Mark Berman was basically cross-examining Dusty Baker for an answer What's up with Yordan Alvarez?
What do you think about that?
Open up the questions for Dusty.
Dusty, can you give us an update on Yordan?
Nope. You guys hit me before the trainers could come in, so I have an update after the game. They're coming in to see me at 11:20. So, sorry, I him and the trainer are coming in to see me. So,
do you know if he's even available to pinch hit for you today?
I really don't know. Like I said, I haven't talked to him. I'm about to talk to him as soon as I get through with you guys, because Steve told me you guys were the most important guys in the building, so I had to see you guys like quick.
Well, maybe you could text us when you find out.
Well, okay. Well,
I was kidding.
No, you weren't.
I know you're right. I wasn't. You're right.
I know that. All right.
That got a little bit awkward. Got a little bit awkward, and it's getting a little bit frustrating. I mean, more than a little bit. I'm frustrated. You're the manager of the Houston Astros. You know, your fans are incredibly loyal and incredibly interested in Yordan Alvarez. You have to know something. Now, you can say, you know, you can dance around it a little bit, but I think this is 3 days that he's had no update and heard nothing on Yordan Alvarez. That can't be true. Like, that cannot be true.
It might be.
The manager of the team has not talked to. He's not talked to the general manager. He's not talked to the training staff. He's not talked to a doctor.
He might not have.
And heard something. That's a virtual.
He might not want to know.
That's a virtual.
He might not want to know. Sometimes you don't want to know.
Well, you need to know. And that's a virtual impossibility. Now, that the manager, otherwise he's not doing his job. Now, you can say, guys.
They've won five in a row, sir.
They're doing fine. You can say, guys, I'm going to let Yordan tell you, but he will not be in the lineup today. Something like that, all right? And that tells you, without really telling you, that the injury is still there, it is still bothering him, et cetera. But you can't say, I don't know. Come on. Come on, man.
Carlos Correa is going to get the day off today because he's in the red.
And in the red.
In the red is basically where
they measure
like how much you hustle. So if like if you go from first to third or something, and then you are you have to move a lot.
Yeah.
They put you in the red.
Where's so Yordan? He said,
I think he stays red.
He's in the green.
He stays red. But so he said that Correa was in the red, so he gets a break. And then he said Josh Reddick's been in the red for a while, so we got to get him out of there because of his hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said Kyle Tucker is currently in the red, which is surprising.
What? Yes. He said that?
Yes.
So he knows who's in what color.
Yes.
But he doesn't have an update on the rookie of the year.
See, now you're just – I'm trying to get you off Dusty right now. He's won five
Why
games in a row.
It's not negative. It's straightforward.
Can I interest you in a Justin Verlander update?
Please.
Dusty Baker talking about Justin Verlander.
Oh, so he knows how Justin's doing.
He does.
What does he know what Justin did? He talk to his trainers?
Let's find out. Here's Dusty Baker live at the Juice Box.
You know, played catch yesterday, which is a positive sign. Diaz is, coming along. We don't know exactly – you know, what the timetable is because their bodies, I mean, the timetable on the schedule is one thing, but on their body is something else. And Akiti's, he's come along. Also, I was going to call him today and see how he's doing.
So you do have
Who's the other one you ask about, James?
Brantley.
Brantley, yeah. I mean, Brantley's feeling better,
wow.
but he's not, you know, doing any activities. We're trying to shelve him for a while, let his body heal naturally because he's been doing all kind of treatments and all different that kind of things. But sometimes you just need a natural body healing. And also, as we all know, almost everybody on this call knows, as you get older, you heal a little slower than you did when you was younger. I could talk about
that. With Verlander yesterday playing catch, did you hear anything more than that he played catch, or was that just kind of the extent of it?
No, I just heard that he played catch. Like I said, I'm 3 minutes over from seeing a trainer, so maybe Mark.
You do have a phone.
I get the info on the text.
Oh, text too.
Okay.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys.
I think that's it.
Thank
yep.
you. Thank you. So you do text, you do call, you do get information on people like Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
But not Yordan.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Huh.
All right. By the way.
Figure that.
By the way, Rockets at 5:30 tonight, game one against the Thunder. James Harden says it's not personal, which to me kind of bothers me. I think it should be personal.
Did you tweet that or did you text us?
I did not.
You texted
us. It should be personal, I think.
I like your point there.
210, the Rockets with Zach Greinke on the mound. Brent Strom, here's what he had to say about Zach Greinke. He called him, quote, must-watch TV, and he said his wife is excited to watch him pitch.
Maybe that's why.
Does she like the grunts? Is that like get his wife in the mood?
No. Sounds like a Western, right? Get along, little doggies. Yeah. How can you not like Zach Greinke?
I don't know. Brent Strom said his wife likes Zach Greinke.
Everybody likes Zach Greinke.
Who's your wife's crush?
She's more of an actor. Let me see. Any athletes?
Your wife's crush?
Not really.
Crush, Figgy.
She liked the actor that played Thor from Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah, she likes Jimmy Smits.
Okay. I don't even know who that is.
Big burly Hispanic guys.
I know who Rick Smits is.
Yeah.
The dunking Dutchman.
Yeah.
No idea who that is. Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. We're going to hear from him during lunch. We're also going to look at the best Tuesday ever. Keep it locked. Lunchtime next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.